మాలాసుదాం కుంభ విబోధముద్ర విద్యావిరాజత కరవారి జాతాం అపార కారుణ్య సుదాంబురాశిం శ్రీ శారదాంబా ప్రణతోస్మి నిత్యం. సీకింగ్ ద బెనిడిక్షన్ ఆఫ్ జగన్మాత శారదా పరమేశ్వరి, ద డిపాజిటరీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ కల్చర్ నాలెడ్జ్ ట్రెడిషన్ విజ్డమ్ ఆర్ట్ లెర్నింగ్ ఫైన్ ఆర్ట్, ఐ బో టు హర్ యాస్ ఎ కమెన్స్ మై అడ్రస్ టుడే. ఇట్ గివ్స్ మీ గ్రేట్ ప్లెజర్ టు వెల్కమ్ యూ ఆల్ టు దిస్ ప్లెసెంట్ అండ్ సాలెమ్ ఫంక్షన్ ఆర్గనైజ్డ్ దిస్ ఈవినింగ్ యాజ్ పార్ట్ of the centenary celebrations of Bharat Ratna Dr. M.S. Subbulakshmi, the golden jubilee of her concert in the United Nations. It was on this very day, on the 23rd of October 1966, this Mahavidushi of our times unfolded the magic and melody of Indian classical music. What is it that we are celebrating today? Are we celebrating an influx of time, a certainty which men, women and institutions will all be affected? It is just not a time chronicle that we are celebrating. It is certainly not the event of the day that we are celebrating, but the day itself we are celebrating. That day was a red letter day in the history of Indian music. For the first time, the beauty, the richness, the quality, the bhava, the bhakti, the rasa of Indian classical music was unfolded before a galaxy of the world's writers, the biggest and the most powerful, heads of states, cabinet ministers, high functionaries and delegates from all over the world who had assembled for the inaugural session of the General Assembly in the year 1966. Music knows no boundary, so they say, but it requires an artist to take it beyond the boundaries. And that's precisely what Subbulakshmi did on the day of taking Indian music beyond the shores of this country, to be felt, experienced by all those who were experiencing for the first time the richness of Indian music. And that is why that day is very important. As Uthant, the then Secretary General, at the end of the concert said, it might be exotic for most of us who were listening to us, but it was music extraordinary. It was that music that she gave. That was the flow of the Carnatic music. Karneshu ishtati iti, one that pleases the ears. Carnatic music does not come from the state of Karnataka. It is the one that pleases the ears. And it was that music, that enriched music that Subbulakshmi gave, language is no barrier, that pleased the ears of people who listened to her for the first time and were just amazed, dazed, spellbound by the magic and the flow of that flow like Ganges of the music that she gave on that day. Subbulakshmi's music was extraordinary on that day. But she dedicated that entire concert for universal harmony and peace. 50 years later, we live in a society which is more divided than it was half a century ago. Divisive forces have taken deep roots in all sections of the society. Fissiparous tendencies have gained currency. The ugly head of terrorism has risen in several parts of the world, and all in the name of Jannat. Human beings are being killed because they do not belong to a particular faith or they do not follow the path that is followed by the terrorists. There is booming of the guns on the borders of the country. Peace is disturbed. Tranquility is at stake. Despite the loom, dark horizon, in the dark clouds which are clouding the horizons of this land, there is still brightness at the end of the tunnel. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a resurgence of the spirit of nationalism, of the pride for the country. We can loosely put it as patriotism if you so choose. There is a revival of the spirit, and this is good enough for people in uniform who guard the borders of this country to provide for a territorial integrity and sovereignty of this nation. Subbulakshmi used her music to provide that soothing balm, to heal the world which was striven by grievances all over, and give the flavor of that harmony and peace that was the message, the clarion call that she gave on that day. The Quran says, after every difficulty, there is usra. Usra is comfort and prosperity. We therefore believe, as we celebrate the golden jubilee of Subbulakshmi's concert in the United Nations, the guns will be silence in the borders. Peace will restore, normalcy will come, and all the efforts that are put in for a greater understanding between nations will bear great fruits. The entire concert that she dedicated on day was for universal harmony. We started the centenary celebration of Subbalakshmi, as you all know, at the beginning of last year as the commencement festival from 13th of September 2015. On the second day, which is the 14th of September 2015, we celebrated the commencement of Maitreem Bajata on that day when the then governor of Andhra Pradesh, the governor of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, presided over that function. Maitreem Bajata is not merely a benediction for universal harmony and peace. It brought out the Catholicity of outlook of the sage of Kanchi and Subbalakshmi herself. Maitreem Bajata was penned by the Mahaswami of Kanchi, Pujya Shri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati, the 68th Shankaracharya of the venerated Kamakoti Peetham. The sage had poured into Maitreem Bajata that song that he composed for Subbalakshmi to be sung in the United Nations, the entire essence of Indian philosophy and thought. He drew generously from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Damyata, Dattam, Dayatvam, charity, restraint and compassion. These are the hallmarks of external relations between nations, between several nations, nations together. It was on this foundation that he built Maitreem Bajata. The sage also poured into it the full essence of what Hinduism is all about. The word Hindu, it's a way of life. Because unlike most other religions which have a founder who has given birth to the religion, this is anayasa kalam. It is coming from times immemorial. It has no founder. The conventional belief is people who live on the banks of river Sindhu are called as Hindu. But the word Hindu also means love. The word Hindu also means absence or abhorrence of hatred. And this abhorrence of hatred the sage brought out fully in Maitreem Bajata. Yastha sarvani bhutani atmanneva anupushyati sarvabhuteshu cha atmanam tatto na vikupaste, says the Ketha Upanishad. He who sees himself in others and sees others in himself, he will not hate anyone any longer, because he himself is there and in that person also he is there. So that hatred will go away. This is the essence of this religion. Millions of years ago, the Vedas gave unto this world through Upanishad the concept of one village. Globalization is a phenomenon of the 20th century. But the Hindu culture gave it long time back. Ayam nijah paro vedi gananam laguchetasam udara charitanam tu vasudeiva kutumbakam. This is mine, that is yours, is a thought that essentially comes to a mean mind. But to the large hearted, the entire world is one family. Adi Shankara says in Viveka Chudamani, Tvayimai Chanyatra Eko Vishnuhu. Search inwards in you and me. Do you get a consciousness which is different than the one that is in me or in you? It is the same Vishnu who is there in both of us. Why then this hatred? Why then this strife? Why then this discord that is there between men and men, men and women, women and women? This is the essence of that religion that the sage poured into Maitreem Bajata as he gave the concept of universal harmony and peace, which was set to music by Vasant Desai from Mumbai and then sung by Subbalakshmi in the United Nations. The first invitation to come to United Nations came to Subbalakshmi in the year 1965. That was the year the Indo-Pak war had just been ended. The hostilities across the borders were still there. And worldwide the strife was intense. Therefore, Subbalakshmi could not accept the invitation of United Nations to go there for singing. Fortunately for her, the invite was repeated again by the Secretary General in the year 1966. Subbalakshmi accepted it with grace and decided that she will go on a circuit tour to the United States and definitely sing in the United Nations. A repertoire of 60 songs were selected from which she will draw for 12 concerts across the east and the west coast of the United States. There were two major programs that Subbalakshmi was to do during that tour of 1966. One was the concert at the Carnegie Hall and the second was the opening session of the United Nations General Assembly. The team of Subbalakshmi at that time comprised of her daughter Radha, Viku Vinayak Ram and the Ghatam, Dr. T.K. Murthy on the Mridangam B.V. Subramanyam on the violin and Rajendran on the tanpura. Rajaji had specifically composed a number in English, a node in English, and gave to her to be sung in the United Nations. This was set to music by Marvel Handel, who was then the director of All India Radio, Chennai. And the last song was the benediction song, which was penned by the sage of Kanchi. As Subbalakshmi came on to the United Nations for a date with the Americans, she had the first performance in the Carnegie Hall, where she was introduced as the first lady of Carnatic music. Generally, people have an understanding that Maitri Bhajata was sung for the first time in the United Nations Assembly. It was not. It was sung on the 21st of October, 1966, in the Carnegie Hall. Then came the 23rd of October, 1966, the day Subbalakshmi was to sing in the United Nations. It's a rare coincidence. Today is also a Sunday. That day was also a Sunday. And that day was Vijayadashami Day. The last day of Navaratri, the general belief in Hindu pantheon is that it is a day for victory of all forces of goodness on the earth. Ultimately, goodness survives no matter which part of the world you are. And Vijayadashami is synonymous with that belief. And it was on that day Subbalakshmi was to address through music to the General Assembly of people who had assembled for her concert. As luck would have it, she got up that morning with fever. Her throat was completely choked, and it became extremely difficult for Subbalakshmi to think of pursuing the engagement for the day. Sharda Prasad, the then press advisor to the Prime Minister of India, who were also part of the delegation, was greatly worried, and he was telling Narasimhan whether it would be possible for us to hold the concert. But as day progressed, it only worsened for Subbalakshmi. But Subbalakshmi knew nothing except to go into meditation. Before the portrait of the sage of Kanchi that she carried along with her, deeply into contemplative state that she went in, and it is a miracle which you will see Subbalakshmi telling you when you see the video, that by 3 o'clock, she suddenly felt she was comfortable. The throat had opened up. 3:30 was the concert. She quickly dressed herself and came to the auditorium for that concert. As she came to the tender applause of the people who were waiting to listen to her, the beauty, the majesty of all that I spoke about, Carnatic music and the Indian music that was to unfold on that day, it was that connect between the sage of Kanchi and Subbalakshmi, that intense spiritual connect that she herself believed carried the day for her. Yuthanda described the music as extraordinary. The New York Times critic is a very hard nut to crack those days. In fact, people used to say that no concert ever in life has been accepted by that fellow. But he wrote such rich encomiums for Subbalakshmi. He said that he will cherish this concert for long, long times to come. History was made on that day when Indian music traveled beyond the borders of this country to give a feel, a flavor of it, if not the full of it, to the world. And it is this aspect of that music that we are celebrating today. Subbalakshmi devoted all her life of 88 years, and more importantly, the 7 decades and more of her musical journey, to pour out compassion, care. That is why there was quality of mercy in the music that she gave. The very essence of telling the world to love. Because but for love, there is nothing that comes out of the music. And that does not depend on caste, creed and community. It flows out without language, without any identity. And that is what she did all through her life. The greatest tribute that we can ever think of paying to her as a musician, as a human being, as an Indian, is to spread the word of goodness all around and carry that message of the philosophy of this land of ours, that this world is one. And when we design our external policies based on human beings, not based on countries, that would be the greatest tribute to the likes of Subbalakshmi and the sage of Kanchi. We are beholden to the Department of Posts. I don't know if there is any innings between a public sector institution and a private institution like the Shanmukhananda Sabha to have such a harmonious relationship, bringing out the best of Subbalakshmi through the means of philately. In the year 2005, immediately after the demise of Subbalakshmi, the department brought out a commemorative stamp, the first stamp that was brought out on Subbalakshmi. at the inaugural session of the centenary celebrations, the Maharashtra Postal Circle was kind enough to bring out a special postal cover. For the first time ever in the history of the innings of postal covers, between a private institution and an individual not biologically connected. There is no biological connection between the Sabha and Subbalakshmi, except the relationship of an artist and an institution. This was brought out in the special cover at the beginning of the commemoration of the centenary celebrations of Subbalakshmi. During the centenary celebrations of Subbalakshmi this year, on the 16th of September 2016, the department brought out a special postal card on Subbalakshmi. During the year, the headquarters at Delhi brought out a definitive series, Makers of India series of 100 makers who had made this country. It was our suggestion, it was personally my suggestion to the government that musicians, art should be included. And thanks to the intervention of the Prime Minister, both Subbalakshmi and Bismillah Khan were brought into that list. And ultimately, a definitive stamp on Subbalakshmi. And the suggestion given was that it should be a low price stamp so that it will reach out to the masses. And the department was kind enough to bring it out, a 3 rupees stamp, so that it can be used by people, experienced by people. They will breathe Subbalakshmi through philately. And today, as we celebrate the Golden Jubilee of our concert in the United Nations, a special cover is again being brought out on the Golden Jubilee of Maitri Bhajata. The Chief Postmaster General, Mr. Agarwal, is over here. He has just assumed the charge as the Postmaster General. Possibly this is the first engagement, public engagement that you would have taken to come over to an institution like this. Sir, we thank you for your presence over here, and we will be extremely delighted to carry this association that we have with the department for many more years to come. Let art flourish through philately, and let this collaboration between the Sabha and the Government of India through its Department of Post flourish as well. We are beholden to Sri Chinmay Gare Khan, the veteran diplomat who has come all the way from Delhi to keep his date with us and other engagements in the city. Even at this ripe age has not withered him, time has not staled him. He is as fresh as he was during his young days. Possibly in addition to what all I say about him, there is one thing which is very unique about Mr. Gare Khan. There is not a single soul available in this auditorium or countless number of people who are listening and seeing this through the live relay who had witnessed the 1966 concert of Subbalakshmi, but Mr. Gare Khan is one who witnessed that concert. Most of the accompanying artists of Subbalakshmi have survived. They are alive. But none of the audience, at least the Indians. In fact, Subbalakshmi's video will tell you that there are very few brown-skinned people who were there. She could count to the number when she came to the stage. And in the counting she would have done, she would have included Mr. Gare Khan. An outstanding diplomat of our times, of our living memories. He was the permanent representative of India in the United Nations, then headquartered at Geneva. For a very long time he served as the Undersecretary General of the United Nations and the Chief Advisor to the Secretary General. He was the principal advisor on external affairs to two Prime Ministers, successive Prime Ministers over a decade, to Madam Indira Gandhi and then to Sri Rajiv Gandhi. He was the special representative of the UN Envoy. He was the UN Envoy on behalf of the Secretary General to Middle East to bring about or broker a peace between the warring nations. This is the distinction of the person whom we have today. There could have been no better person than Mr. Chinmay Gare Khan to be with us to inaugurate this Golden Jubilee Festival and bring out the glory of the day that he had witnessed and share with us what all he had seen on that day. As I come to the end of my address, may Jagannamata Kamakoti Kamakshi shed her grace on all of us so that we can draw a leaf from the life of nobility of Subbalakshmi and make our lives sublime. Thank you.